This is the New Blue Review with Benji Shulman.
101.9 Chai FM. We got slightly cut off there, but not cut off enough that we can't speak to Rob Hutchinson from Dear South Africa, who joins us every single week. Rob, how are you doing?
Very well in yourself, Benji.
I'm doing fantastic. Rob, we're starting to see the big tumble towards the end of this particular parliamentary mandate, the NCOP passing legislation to do with expropriation without compensation in some respects. Question about whether the president is actually going to sign that in before the end of the year. Questions about NHI, question about the spy bill. So there is a lot going on, and it does seem to be that Parliament is tripping over itself to try and get things done before it actually gets done.
Absolutely, Benji, you're spot on. I think we mentioned before that as a Parliament has a certain number of bills that they have to get out, they have a timetable that they have to adhere to, which is set at the beginning of every year or every term. And they always fall behind, and there are so many bills that are still out for discussion. There's so many bills that are just being rushed through at the moment, and most of them are to do with the election. You mentioned the NHI, the spy bill, and a few others there, which are extremely, extremely important. The land expropriation without compensation obviously falls into the ANC's election strategy, and so do the others. So they will be on the table. Whether the president will sign them in or not is still up for debate. Excuse me. I don't think he will sign a lot of them in, but some of them that fit into their election strategy, he most definitely will. That being NHI and others along that line, including basic income grants, extension of the COVID relief fund, and other important matters.
Now, in between all of that, of course, we have, just for fun, the draft National Biodiversity Energy Strategy, which doesn't sound all that exciting compared to everything else, but it is nonetheless fairly important.
Yes, it is. It raised quite a bit of public outcry on this bill. It's the National Biodiversity Economy Strategy, not the Energy Strategy, which is basically a comprehensive framework for economic activity based on South Africa's abundant wild plants and wildlife. And what it plans to do is, well, they actually list four strategic goals in it. One is to leverage biodiversity based on features to scale inclusive ecotourism, the scale of the ecotourism industry. The second one is consumptive use of game from extensive wildlife systems at scale. And the third one is consumptive use of wildlife and produced marine and freshwater resources. And then the fourth one is to introduce a well-structured, inclusive, integrated, and formalized bio-prospecting, bio-trade, and biodiversity-based harvesting and production. Quite a few catchwords there in that one, yeah.
Just throw it all in there, really.
Yeah, this is almost like they said, okay, we need government catchword bingo here. Let's throw everything in to digress from the real issues at hand. What this is really is an extensive overhaul of the entire biodiversity plan, including game farms, creating an extensive, huge area where game can survive, and increase hunting in certain areas. And what they want to do is create a sort of mega landscapes. They actually call it as mega landscapes, equivalent to about the size of 7 Kruger National Parks, which are controlled areas where they can increase trade and hunting and encourage activities around there, all under the auspices of increasing trade in those areas and stimulating economic growth. But there is on one side, it is a good idea. You know, we should be looking after the environment, animals and plants and so on, and also stimulating economic growth. On the other hand, it does seem a bit overreaching. They do include sentences and clauses which actually promote rhino horn and ivory trade. They actually say rhino horn and ivory trade can be stimulated. And the strategy goes on to talk about how health clinics would administer traditional remedies using rhino horn for health tourists from the Far East or from ivory carving, which is done locally for sale and export. That would promote, of course, rhino horn trading in South Africa. And this is all linked to the game meat strategy, which we chatted about quite a while ago, I think, Benji. And that strategy says that the game meat has been identified as an alternative, cheap and readily available source of protein, especially for rural communities. So on the one hand, it's if you look at it from the hunting and economic point of view, it's not a bad policy and it should be carried out. However, there are some really concerning issues within it, especially around rhino horn trading and creating these mega parks. And it's not just on land, it's also offshore. There's also sea trading of South Africa's ocean life and plant life. And I think it's all linked to there's an upcoming Indaba, which is promoting ecotourism and biodiversity here. And yeah, it's quite a mouthful here. And by the way, the public is only given 14 days to comment on this, which actually ended on the 22nd of March, but it's now been extended to the 5th of April due to public outcry.
Where would you put a park that is seven times bigger than the Kruger, that also has space for animals? Like, the Kruger is pretty big already. We've got like Addo. We've got quite a lot of parks already. They're not small. I'm just trying to think where such a thing would exist. Like, are they going to bulldoze Bloemfontein or what?
Well, the entire province. That maybe might not be a bad thing at all. But it's split into, I think, five or six different areas, which encompass about 30 million hectares in total, which is a huge amount of area. And of course, these would be protected areas where it wouldn't be allowed to have residential places and development around that. It's strictly for wildlife and encompassing existing game farms and so on. So not one area, but spread all over the country.
Very interesting. Okay, and of course, as you say, introducing into the topic a variety of serious issues. I mean, we've even seen a growth industry in farming of donkey pelts. I know they're not considered wildlife, but seem to have the same kind of traditional medicine quality. And so we've seen a lot of Chinese people buying up donkeys in the Northwest, which has created some problems for the donkey population there. So one could only imagine what is going to happen when it comes to rhinos.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the whole philosophy is around you will conserve that which you consume, mm-hmm. whether it's for food or whether it's for export, such as rhino horn, which might work to a certain extent. I mean, we've seen conservation places look after certain wildlife and actually bring them back from the brink of extinction. The question is, can you viably look after essentially wild animals? We've seen problems with the canned lions and hunting there and promotion of that. And the question is, will it increase the hunting, because there's a fair amount of revenue generated from international hunting, or will it just exploit existing wildlife and really decimate the range? But that's also up for public debate. As I said, there are two different schools of thought on that.
Well, if you do want to be part of that debate, as always, you can go check out dearsouthafrica.co.za, and you can check out all the resources and comment on that bill, because it has been extended. Rob Hutchinson, thank you so much for joining us, and do enjoy your upcoming long weekend.
Thank you, Benji, and you too.
Have a great day. That is Rob Hutchinson, who joins us every single week with regards to what's going on in Parliament. I'm Benji Shulman. This is 101.9 High FM.